Continuing from hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attempt to go to Vrindavan, the chapter is entitled, the 16th chapter, he's going to attempt to go to Vrindavan, which implies that he's not going to succeed. But everything, of course, that the Supreme Lord does is a success, but it is according to his own plan. So, after approximately a year, after he returned from a South Indian tour, the devotees from Bengal had come and they had spent 4 months in Jagannath Puri, and every day they would perform kirtan and be immersed in transcendental ecstasy, because it is a matter of one's consciousness when one is performing an activity that gives it superficiality or depth. Whatever we do, it's a matter of our consciousness. How subtle and deep our consciousness is will give different meaning to an activity. So in chanting Hare Krishna, Namo Vasya Hare Dehai, Sarva Bhavatai, that if one just chants in an innocent way and commits no offenses, then sarva papachai, all the reactions to one's sinful that one is carrying with us from birth to birth, like carrying a huge bag. That's the weight that we feel in life. There's a huge bag that we're carrying that's unseen by ourselves and by others. And this is in the subtle body. This is the reactions of all the things that we've done in previous lives, for countless lives, so we can imagine how many reactions are there. And then just by one innocent type of chanting, then sarva papachai, all that bag is cut, and one is left just with what is his due to this body. But for if one is practicing jnana yoga, then he is more or less stuck with that particular karma that he has in this life. But if one is practicing bhakti, even that is shifted and changed by Krishna. Actually, if one is practicing bhakti, then one doesn't exactly get his own karma, because it comes from the hand of Krishna. Comes through the hand of this. So quite an interesting topic. And why doesn't Krishna just take away that paramita karma, also the karma that comes along with his body, completely? And the answer is because then what would we do? We wouldn't have a body. And the body is composed of karma, basically. And if without having a body, we wouldn't have the ability to advance in Krishna consciousness and go through life meeting our fate and acting and reacting in a Krishna conscious way, exercising our free will, our free choice to, according to our fate, whatever comes to us, exercising our free choice and that every act in reaction to our fate, every act of our own in reaction to our fate, let that be a sincere attempt to come closer to Krishna. So in that way, by having a material body, regardless of whether it's one that is due all kinds of pleasures, or one that is due all kinds of suffering. How one deals with that is the important thing in life. How one deals with one's fate. And does one take shelter of Krishna with one's fate? Or does one want to enjoy one's fate? And if one attempts to enjoy one's fate, one can be sure that one will suffer one's fate. It's that attempt to enjoy that causes so much difficulty in life. It causes all difficulty. And rather than attempting to enjoy, if we attempt to serve Krishna, then everything shifts. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees chanted all of Jagannath Puri was mystified. They were captivated by the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees, because again, Mahaprabhu and the devotees, their consciousness was so deep, and therefore they didn't just remove sinful reactions. They were experiencing the ecstasy of Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, by their chant, because Abhinatam Nama Namana Krishna, his names are the same. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is a boat that can carry us not only across the dangerous ocean of material world, but also carry us to the other shore, to Goloka Vrindavan. So residents of Jagannath Puri were amazed and astounded and ecstatic to participate in the kirtan or to watch it. And then the 4 months ended, and it was time for the devotees from Bengal to go home, back to Bengal, which was a very touching time, because the visiting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it wasn't an official visit. Now I come, okay, 4 months is over, now I go back. No, it was there was so much deep, loving affection exchanged between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. So we heard a little now with Dvaita Charja. When it was time to Mahaprabhu to go, he communicated with Mahaprabhu through poetry and through gestures. And no one else could understand what Dvaita Charja was suggesting to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu, he accepted the proposal of Advaita Charja, and Advaita Charja smiled. And then Mahaprabhu every day would sit in a quiet, lonely place with Nityananda Prabhu. And then one day we heard, I think this is just where we're up to. At the end of the 4 month period, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Nityananda Prabhu, "Sunaya, listen, I now request something of you. Kindly grant my request. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire." So we read that verse and the purport, where the order of the Supreme Lord to carry out the desire of Krishna. If one takes it extremely seriously to fulfill that order of Krishna, coming through that desire of Krishna, coming through the disciplic succession, then certainly one does not lose. But everything is dependent ultimately on mercy. And when Krishna sees that someone is doing something quite sincerely to please him, and has put Krishna's pleasure and Srila Prabhupada's pleasure and one's spiritual master's pleasure in the center, and it is all lined up to satisfy Krishna's desire to fulfill the mission of Krishna in this world. So and then when Krishna sees that, he gives blessings, and by the blessings of Krishna, then one makes spiritual advancement. So Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. I want you to go stay in Bengal. And in Bengal, I want you to do what no one else but you can do. I want you to preach this message and get everyone to chant Krishna's holy names. So Mahaprabhu continued, and then there's another purport in this. Prabhupada speaks. We're fortunate to hear Prabhupada's words here. And his words are very much the words of his Gurumaharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada used that extensively in writing his own commentaries. So Mahaprabhu continued to speak to Nityananda Prabhu. You can perform a task that even I cannot do. But for you, other than you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there. Because Mahaprabhu had to stay in Jagannath Puri. That was part of the arrangement and part of his divine plan. So who remembers that last, anything from that last verse that I just read?
You can do even what I cannot do?
Yes. But for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there to spread Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Here's the Prabhupada's purport. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. And we heard yesterday that that has so much to do with the chanting of Krishna's holy names, the spreading of the Sankirtan movement, of the chanting of Krishna's holy names to every town and village of the world, because there is no other medicine that can actually purify and change the hearts of the residents of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, manda samanda mapeo, manda abhagya upadrita. Everyone is lazy, misguided, going in the wrong direction, not knowing up from down, or rather having a tendency to think down is up and wanting to go up, but ending up very down and then going further down and further down. Everyone is so bewildered about life's purpose in Kali Yuga, and so determined and so addicted in such heavy sanskaras from this life and previous lives for sensual enjoyment. So it's very difficult, and so much media just always between the movies and the internet and the television and huge screens, and even if you go on an airplane, everyone has a screen right in front of them. How many different choices of things to absorb your mind in other than Krishna there. So it's so difficult. And no one wants to absorb their mind in anything other than Krishna. Not no one, but that's the tendency. Everyone wants to just enjoy themselves somehow or another. No one wants to place Krishna in the center and act for the pleasure of Krishna, which actually is the natural consciousness of everyone. And the more we try to place ourselves in the center of enjoyment, the more we end up serving anyway. We just can't avoid it. This is what dharma means. Our sanatana dharma means our constitutional, natural, eternal position of the eternal soul is to serve, just like sweetness is the dharma of sugar. You can't avoid having sugar that's sweet. You can't have salty sugar or sugar that tastes like peanut butter or something. Sugar tastes sweet. That's what it is. It's its dharma. So similarly, the soul's dharma, how each and every one of our dharmas, regardless of the particular situation we're in at the present, whatever body or mind we particularly have, is we end up serving. We can't avoid it. So when that service is directed to Krishna, with Krishna in the center, then that is the fulfillment of the soul's natural position. So it takes a very powerful person and a very powerful methodology to change the consciousness of the Kali Yuga people. You have to fight, in the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or in Srila Prabhupada repeated, you have to shed two gallons of blood. You have to shed gallons and gallons of blood to change the heart. You have to push, you have to work. You have to be very determined to change someone's consciousness. You have to really be prayerful, you have to be deep yourself, and it's not easy. So Mahaprabhu said, there is no one other than you who can do it. You can do things that even I cannot do. So here is the Prabhupada's purport. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. There's a compassionate mission. In this age of Kali, practically 10% of the population is fallen. And again, people don't even recognize what fallen means, because everything is upside down or topsy-turvy. Things that were looked upon as terrible 20, 30, 40 years ago are looked at as very standard. I was in one mall 2 days ago, and there was a hair-cutting saloon, and it was for men. And they showed the different kind of haircuts that men can have, and they were the most, and they were it was the most peculiar thing I've ever seen. Different colors too. You have your hair cut like this, and they have pictures of people like that, you know, with things sticking out here and sticking out there, and you can have it green or purple or red. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, to think that that's going to make you happy. And the children always playing. And I've seen this in airports with the young children. They're always going, kicking and fighting. They estimate that by the time a child is like 9 years old, by his watching of television and movies, he's already witnessed 9,000 murders, you know, so many robberies, so much blood and everything like that. Poor children, they've lost their innocence. And people say, oh, we should do something we have to change, but they don't know what to change. And they won't give up because they're hopelessly addicted to these things, but they can see the terrible effects in their children, and they don't want their children to be like that, but themselves are hopelessly addicted. So practically 10% of the population has fallen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly delivered many fallen souls, but his disciples mainly came from the upper classes. For example, he delivered Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many others who were socially elevated but fallen from the spiritual point of view. They were from very high class, prestigious families. Rupa Goswami was the, and Sanatan Goswami, they were the prime ministers in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. This is all historically documented. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was famous for bringing Navanyaya, bringing it from Mathila to Navadvipa and then going to Jagannath Puri. And King Prataparudra, he was the king, and he was a warrior. And he was fighting. There's one part when Sanatana Goswami, when he refuses to engage anymore in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, and he wants to withdraw from the government, and one of the main reasons is because Sanatana Goswami was the one who used to run the government while Nawab Hussain Shah was going to fight. And who was he fighting? He was going south from Bengal towards Orissa to fight with Maharaj Prataparudra. That was the particular foray when Sanatana Goswami, military foray when Sanatana Goswami refused to participate in the government. Because Maharaj Pataparuja was in the south, these kings. If you read it, you read in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in chapter 73, when the kings after Krishna released them from Jarasandha, they explain the mentality of these kings. They're just false ego. I want to attack. I want to control. I want to take over this kingdom. I will defeat him. He is my enemy. I will show who is powerful. And you can't always win. So these kings were captured, and they understood by Jarasandha, and they understood how foolish they were having this type of mentality. But this was the mentality of the king. So the kings were always fighting with each other. Who would become most powerful? Because there's an arrogance that comes along with that Kshatriya nature. It's required. It's inbuilt. It's genetically modified, but the strain of Kshatriya blood is kept intact in the Vedic system. So in the south, Pratapurja Maharaj was fighting. So in the north, Nalbhai Hussain Shah decided, well, as long as he's fighting in the south, it's a perfect time for me to attack in the north, because all the armies are there. So there's no, he's fighting in the south, I should be a gentleman and I should wait till that is concluded, and then we will fight like warriors and I will do. Wasn't that so? He was in the south distracted, so he attacked in the north. Sanatana Goswami refused to fight Maharaj Pataparuja, and they got as far as Katak, and actually at that time, but a different time with Nalbhai Hussain Shah, they actually got to Jagannath Puri, and they were trying to break the deities, take the deities and break them. They actually went to the temple, but they had taken them away to Lake Chuka or something like that. And then when Maharaj Pratibhuja, he came back and he chased away now Hussain Shah with his armies. They made peace down south. But then he had a dream that Lord Jagannath chastised him for not being careful. So in any case, Mahaprabhu's, so that was Maharaj Pataparuja, a powerful king at that time. So, and Rupan Sanatan was situated in government service, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the topmost scholar of India. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati was a leader of many thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. It was Nityananda Prabhu, however, who delivered persons like Jagai and Madai, who were niche. Who are very, very fallen, even from the point of view of society. Everyone has fallen spiritually, because we wouldn't be in the material world if we were exalted. We wouldn't be here. Like, it's prison. This is prison. This is prison. This is prison. Everyone in prison thinking, I'm so honest, I don't know how I got here. The judge sent me here. It's all his fault. Well, because my parents didn't do this or this problem or that problem. But it's very hard to be rectified if that's one's mood, if everything, everyone else's fault. But if one understands one's inherent criminal nature, that tendency to avoid the law. And what is the law? The law is Krishna Nitya Das, Jivera Sarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das. I'm Krishna's servant. This is my Dharma, this is who I am. And instead of turning my back on that, I should face who I am. So everyone is spiritually fallen, but some prisoners are in better cells than others, and some are in terrible cells. So Nityananda Prabhu was very expert at it. His soft, compassionate nature in delivering even the most fallen. So the example is given of Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Amara duskara kama tomo hoi tehai. Jagai and Madhai were delivered solely by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. When they injured Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya became angry and decided to kill them with his Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu saved them from the Lord's wrath and delivered them. In the incarnation of Gaura Nittai, the Lord is not supposed to kill demons but deliver them by preaching Krishna consciousness. In the case of Jagai and Madhai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he would have immediately killed them, but Nityananda Prabhu was so kind that he not only saved them from death but elevated them to the transcendental position. Thus, what was not possible for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda Prabhu. Keno Nitavinivai Radha Krishna Paitenai. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot attain the service of C.C. Radha Krishna. Similarly, if one is true to Gaura-Nittai's service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. So what was that sentence that I just read?
One who can excel the service of Lord.
Listen again. If one is true, so the point that was being made was that that Nityananda Prabhu could do things and did do things by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course. But he did things that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't do. He could excel Nityananda Mahaprabhu. And then Prabhupada says, similarly, in a parallel way, it is true to go, if one is true to Gaura Nittai's service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. And we saw that. Did such amazing things all over the world. That which was not possible, he did. If one is true to Gaura Nittai's service in the disciplic succession, what does that mean? If one is true to Gaura Nittai's service in the disciplic succession, what is the word true? It's not the way we usually use the word true.
Authentic guru and sishya parampara.
Faithful. Faithful. If one is like this, like if you had an arrow and it was straight, and because if an arrow is crooked, so there's an art of making it, of arrow making. This is also described in the 11th canto. Did anyone ever read that part? The 11th canto describes how in the Udva Gita, but in the part of when the Avadutta Brahmana, Krishna is telling the Avadutta Brahmanas, Dattatreya Muni, talking to Maharaj Yadav, he said there was once an arrow maker who was so intent on making the arrow straight and so focused on making it true. That's you use that term. Making it true to its actual position. An arrow must be straight, because if it's crooked, you shoot it, you want to go that way and it'll go which is won't be helpful, makes it hard to aim. So that the example is given of that arrow maker who was so focused on making the arrow, doing his service properly, making it perfectly true, perfectly straight, that when the king came by with his retinue, elephants and band and everything, he didn't even notice it. Drums and musical. The king, when a king comes, there has to be many people, and you have to make something wonderful has to be done. So if one is true to Gonatai's service that means focused and fixed and faithful and straight in the discipline of succession, because we don't serve directly, we serve as the servant of the servant. He can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. So that's by the mercy of his spiritual master, by the mercy of the disciplic succession, by the mercy of Krishna. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu, by his grace, can deliver many thousands of Jagais and Madhais. That is the special benediction of the disciplic succession. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the results of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of the Lord and his devotees are concerned. Therefore, Lord Jiva says, Aradhananam Savisham Vishnu Aradhanam Pram Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharam. Parvati is asking, what type of worship is the best? So he says, Aradhananam Savisham. Of all types of worship, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. That the worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. But Tasmat Parataram Devi, Parataram means the topmost, even better than the best, is Tadiyanam Samacharam. Tadiyanam means that which is connected to Lord Vishnu, that is connected, Tadiya. So better than serving the Lord directly is to serve those things that are connected to Him. And we saw an example of this in, who can think of a Krishna Leela? In Krishna Leela, there's an example of this. One day, Mother Yashoda was churning butter. And as she was churning butter, she was thinking of Krishna, her darling, beloved son. And as she was churning and churning, she was singing of his glories. Then Krishna came out. He woke up, little Krishna woke up, and he came out and wanted to drink milk. So Mother Yashoda began to feed him. She stopped her churning and began to feed him. But then, when the milk on the oven inside began to boil over, as milk tends to do, it's required that it boils. It's boiled, but it's not required that it boils over. It's boiled. So the milk began to boil over, and Mother Yashoda put Krishna down to take care of the milk. So one philosophical lesson learned from this was that the tadiya, those things meant for the service of Krishna, took precedent. There was no fault on her part. It took precedent. The things, serving those things that are meant for Krishna's service, took precedent over even serving Krishna. So that is philosophically true. Tadiyanam samacharam. But Krishna didn't like it, nevertheless. So, as a result of this, a wonderful leela took place. Krishna became angry, and he broke everything, and he took the butter and fed it to the
monkeys.
Yes, he fed it to the monkeys. And then, when the monkeys had eaten it, and they were full, he said, this butter is so not good that even the monkeys won't eat it. So then he did some more mischief, and more mischief, and more mischief. And he was walking everywhere. And he was looking this way and that way because he was afraid, because he knew he was doing something naughty. This is the supreme, unlimitedly powerful Lord. He knew he was acting in a naughty way because of the, he was conquered by the serving mood of Mother Yashoda. So of all types of worship, here's the translation of that, Aradhananam Savesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best, and better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotees. Parataram, better than the best, the topmost best. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna provoked Arjuna to fight because all the warriors on the battlefield were to die by Krishna's plan. Krishna himself did not want to take credit. Rather, he wanted Arjuna to take credit. Namittakaran Bhavya Savya Sachi. Oh Arjuna, I want you to be my instrument in this battle. All these warriors that you see before you, they are slain already. They have been killed. I have killed them. But I want to do it through you. Krishna himself did not want to take credit. Rather, he wanted Arjuna to take credit, therefore, because they were warriors. It's not that one gets credit just for killing people. But they were warriors. This is what warriors did in battle. They fought to the death. Therefore, Krishna asked Arjuna to fight and win fame. Tasmat tvam matishtiyaso lavasva jitva satrun bhungsva Rajam Samridam Mayayavate Nihita Pohameva Nimittamatram Bhavyasavya Sachin. Therefore, get up and prepare to fight. After conquering your enemies, you will enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savya Sachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. So here is the great question. Do we want to become instruments of Krishna's desire in his service? Would we like to be an instrument of Krishna, of Krishna work to us? This is actually the pleasure of a devotee. When he sees that Krishna is utilizing him, using him in his service, this is the pleasure of a devotee. This is what it means to be a devotee. It's devotional energy. It's Krishna's devotional energy. Devotional service is not of this world. It's from a different level. Thus, this is the final paragraph in the purport, and this is all we'll read probably, and we'll ask for questions. And then there's one more big purport tomorrow too, or next time. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. So when one thinks of the killing of of Ravana, not specifically the one who shot the arrow, but the winning of the battle of Lanka, who does one think of first, practically speaking, even before Ram?
Hanuman.
One thinks of Hanuman. So Hanuman becomes famous, and this is the pleasure of the Lord, of Lord Ram. So see what kind of a intimate servitor Srila Prabhupada was, who was so intent on serving that Krishna, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that place in history, that it will always be known that it was Srila Prabhupada who spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So one intimate servitor. But he was a warrior too. He was a warrior. That was his surrender. To fight on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of disciplic succession. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. Hanumanji, or Vajrangaji, the servant of Lord Ramachandra, also serves as another example. It was Hanumanji who jumped over the sea in one leap and reached the shore of Lanka from the shore of Bharadvaj. When Lord Ramachandra chose to go there, he paved the way with stones, although by his will the stones were able to float in the sea. If we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement can advance, and even more difficult tasks can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. Wow, what a powerful purport. There's actually so many devotees in the world doing miraculous things. No one can do what Prabhupada did, because Prabhupada already did what he did. And no one can against but Krishna consciousness over the world in that way. But there's so many devotees because of their sincere service doing amazing things. And sometimes they're even quite unnoticed, but the big ones. And let's see how it works out in Sridhar Mayapur with a big temple. But it's moving. It's moving. Let's see how it works out. How is it possible? And how many years ago was it that Prabhupada came on the Jaladutta? How many years ago was it? Okay, without it. See, and no one even reached for their computer, calculator, mobile phone. Pretty good. Huh? So almost 50. So Prabhupada arrived. It's such a story that it's such an incredible story. It's the kind of story that it's like storybooks. Someone writes a novel that some old Indian gentleman came up 70 years old with $17 or something like that. and then 48 years later or 50 years later, there's this huge 50, $60 million project coming up or something like that. Let's see how Krishna arranges it. But so many, that's an obvious type of a miraculous thing, or even just to go to Sridhar Mayapur. Who's been to Mayapur recently? You went last year, yeah. But it's so, yes? It's just so, when we went first in 1974, there was just.
I have a picture with this long. I just found a slide, long road.
Yeah.
Like this, and one building.
In the middle of the fields. That was the lotus building. And then I remember there in Gaur Purnima. It was the first. Sort of international Gaur Purnima festival, and there was on Gaur Purnima there was this one little road going to the lotus building where the temple was, and there was this very like a thin stream of Bengalis coming from Gaur Purnima for darshan of Radhamadava, and if you wanted some vegetables or something like that, you had to somehow fight with the rickshaw wala to get to Hulagat, and then go across the river to get some vegetables, then to get out and then walk or find a rickshaw to fight with the rickshaw on the other side to go to the market somewhere. And That was all day. And now, it's like a, we can see it's like a city there. I mean, for all the mixed blessings that that brings. But who could have imagined? So who could imagine how Krishna consciousness? This is after 50 years. We can't imagine what it will be like in 100 years, 1,000 years, or 500 years, we should say first before we say 1,000. 200 years. Who can imagine even? We don't know. We can do our little parts. We can do our little parts. And we won't have, we don't have, only Krishna knows everything. He has, he's the only one who has the overview. But we should just try to do our part and do it well for the pleasure of Guru, Vaishnavas, Krishna, Sri Prabhupada. And that is our greatest fortune, to be able to do some service. Or China, when we were in Hong Kong in 1970, it was just, there was no devotees or anything. And now, and China was, oh, what was going on in China was unspeakable practically. Now there are thousands of devotees
in China.
Yeah. No, the government knows. It's illegal, completely illegal.
Yeah, that's right. Government is not, I mean, communist government won't permit, so that's why I thought. Is it a China or somewhere?
China. C-H-I-N-A. Many, many cities. And yeah, so many devotees. Okay, we'll end here. I'll just read that last part again. See, if we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, we have to, where do we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions? Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see them in Chitsasakam.
Guru Pambra.
Yeah, so if we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who preached, in a humble way, This Krishna consciousness movement can advance if we do these two things. An even more difficult task can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. Okay. Any questions or comments? We have a few minutes.
There's the story of the arrow maker and the king's discussion.
Yeah.
Is that meant to indicate the degree that an aspiring devotee should be focused?
Absorption, meant to illustrate absorption, that one should be absorbed.
And oblivious to the
Well, can't be quite oblivious. Like if we're walking across the street, we have to look both ways before crossing, just in case it happens to be a truck coming down the road. So not oblivious, because but we should be very, very focused, because if we're walking across the street, that's part of our service. So we see the whole thing. But anyway, it's just as an example of giving of absorption.
Yeah.
How deeply one should be absorbed. And we tend to be so peripherally absorbed. Part of our mind is absorbed in our chanting, and part of our mind is thinking of everything that we did yesterday and today and what we're going to do tomorrow, and I want to do this and I have to do that, and do I really have to do this? And there we are chanting, so therefore, because we don't have the absorption, we don't get the result. So that's what we do on Saturday. We'll practice and japa absorption. And if we keep it simple and make the mind's task somewhat simple, it's actually easier than one would think. Yeah, there's so many stories of absorption. The whole 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is about absorption. Especially in Vrindavan, everyone is simply absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. That's what it means to be in Vrindavan. But favorably, anukulena Krishna and Shivan. Any other questions? Good point. It's about absorption.
When we are trying to become devotees and we are not like completely surrendered to Krishna, but we are trying to become the devotees and we want certain things to fall in place as per our plans, but then when it doesn't happen as per what we have planned, and then Krishna has different plan that he wants us to take us to a different route, have to remain fixed in those situations when things are not going as per what
it's not an intellectual thing. From now on, I'm going to remain fixed. But it's also it's not that you become surrendered. Okay, now I'm surrendered. Now I'm going on to something else. Now surrender isn't an issue. Surrender is something that's ever increasing. Like the residents of Vrindavan, they're the most surrendered. So I'm saying that because if we think of it in this way, that to increase our surrender rather than I'm surrendered or not surrendered or not completely surrendered, we want to increase our giving ourselves to Krishna. Surrender means giving ourselves to Krishna. I'm changing our self-concept that I am Krishna. Who am I? When I ask, who are you? Well, who are you? Well, I'm Jimmy from Bombay. But every answer that we give to that question, who am I, that doesn't include I'm Krishna's servant, is incomplete. So there's so much more details will be fulfilled after time. But it's not just an intellectual thing. It's that we have to hear and we chant and we look, become humble that when that we have our own self-interest and selfish and ask Krishna to help us and the process, and we serve, we try our best, this is the whole mission, the whole thing that we're doing, the product of sadhana. Sadhya, the goal is to give us a fully to Krishna and be with Krishna in the spiritual world. Okay, so what was your question again?
So for example, if I want to serve.
No, what was your question?
If things do not go as per what we have planned, and like Krishna wants us to take us to another plan, have to remain fixed in that.
And what was my answer?
Your answer was to increase the surrender towards Krishna. At every level, we have to increase the surrender to Krishna. And then we can do that by sadhana bhakti. And that's the whole purpose of the sadhana.
The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we do our duty. We do the best we can according to our understanding. And then we have to be detached from the result. Because part of being in this world, a human being in this world, is to learn the fact that we are not the center of existence. And that we have our plans. And the universe has different plans. We are trying to get the universe to organize itself around our plans. It's one of the disappointments of growing up, becoming adult, is understanding that the universe doesn't really care very much what you want to do. It just doesn't. Because you just imagine, there's like over 6 billion people trying to get the universe to fulfill its desires. Each one of their desires. So or you want to get on the train in Bombay. You and 100,000 other people also want to get on, so everyone can't get on. So how to become fixed? How to become? That's the question. How to become a devotee? That's what it means to be fixed. It means to be a devotee. Okay, Chris.
Whatever you want.
I tried my best. Okay, what do you want? How can I serve you now? My plan. What I'm really attached to is your service, not doing it this way or this way or this way or this way. But pleasing you is what I'm really attached to. Okay, any last question or comment?
What do you do when you can't do it?
Become humble.
You give up wanting it.
Huh?
Well, I think what Jimmy's describing here, the problem is that we always fight it. The fact that someone else has another idea. Whether we do it externally, grossly, or inside, we're fighting.
We fight it, but then sometimes it's the second attempt or the third attempt that we succeed. So what we want to do is put Krishna's pleasure, not it's my plan, but I want to please Krishna, have that part burning more brightly. Mm. That's the part that has to burn more brightly.
Yeah.
And because you know, if something doesn't happen, you want to do something and it doesn't happen, it's not like, okay, it's Krishna's desire. I'll stay home today. Not quite like that. But when you one element of you try 500 times and you just keep on doing it the same way, maybe it's not the most intelligent way to proceed.
Yeah. But whether or not you've really accepted that Krishna's got another idea.
Well, sometimes you have no choice, like when you're dying.
Still, you must fight it.
Well, you might. It doesn't make any difference. You know, there's different kinds of people who face difficult situations in different ways.
Yeah.
So Mataji will tell us about there's one lady who was fighting it to the end, and she didn't go in a very happy way. And there's other people who were fighting, and then at some point, okay, Krishna, this is what's happening, and then became very peaceful. With it left easily. Of course, it's never easy, but. So when you realize that, okay, it's not going this way, let me adjust to go with the way that, as they say, go with the flow of Krishna's desire. So your point, you ask the question, what do you do when you can't surrender to what Krishna wants?
Well, you can't actually offer that prayer with any sincerity. I mean, recognizes that the prayer is ideal, but you yourself, inside of you, what your consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, so embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So much easier to give classes on it when things happen.
Yeah.
Well, then you need association with devotees to help you. And also, trusted, close devotees who have, you know that they have your interest in mind. Yeah.
Gotta be able to acknowledge that you're fighting.
Huh?
Gotta be able to acknowledge that.
That's
fighting.
Yeah, and then the first, what happens when you realize that is you're so embarrassing when you just realize what your mind just did to you. You have to deal with that, and then you become a little more humble. And so this is the process.
It's a little bit psychic.
Well, it's spiraling.
Yeah.
I think.
So wherever you are in that process, you'll be doing this, putting down here.
You have to meet your fate in life. You have to meet and go through your life. No avoiding going through life. Even though we sometimes like to avoid going through life, you have to go through life. Life is a field meant for our advancement. That's the benefit of the benefit of the bhakti system, that your karma is given to you by Krishna. Your fate is given to you by Krishna. So you're not exactly dealing with your karma. So if you can see Krishna's will in it, go on bravely. Because you're going to have to go on anyway.
It seems sometimes only in retrospect you can see how things were leading in a different direction, and when you look ahead you still can't see ahead. But back you can see. So
yeah, it's much easier. Like, I noticed that with the weather predictions too. They're much better at predicting what the weather was yesterday than tomorrow. There's a saying that life is a, well, I've heard it said a different way, is Krishna consciousness. Usually in school you get the lesson and then you get your examination. But in Krishna consciousness you get the examination and then you get the lesson after it. Oh, that's what I was happening. What was I supposed to learn? Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. So you're welcome to come Saturday for some time spent with nothing else to do except trying to focus on Krishna's holy names for some time.
It's 4 o'clock, isn't it?
4 to 6. But we don't chant. So, I was told today that some devotees perhaps were a little frightened that you may have to sit there for 2 hours and say, actually the amount of japa time was 2 20-minute sessions actually. A lot of it was just getting everyone's mind to accept the fact that this is what I'm supposed to be doing now. I'm supposed to chant and hear Krishna's holy name, be there with Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna, good night, thank you.